All right, I was just thinking about on the way up here. I got home last night about, it was a little bit before 10 o'clock, and then I unpacked the car. We'd been on a trip, unloaded everything, took it in the house, and then I unpacked my stuff, and then I repacked my stuff into a bag, and I got to bed. It was 11-ish, something like that, 11:30, whatever, and then I got up at 3 o'clock this morning, just a little after, and drove up here, and just to be with you guys, and just to hang out. And so, Brother Randy, he had mentioned something about speaking to the guys. And so on the way up here, honestly, I was just thinking about the theme, all in. The other day, I was, I say the other day, preachers say that all the time, and they're lying most of the time, because it usually wasn't just the other day. This was actually back in like August of last year, but it seems like the other day, you know. And so I was witnessing to a guy in California. I was preaching out there at a meeting, and I was witnessing to this guy. We were sitting down, and we were there at a restaurant, and so he had come over. We were talking about some different things that he did, and he was a big-time soccer player. In fact, he came over to the States. I forget what country he came from, but he came over to the States to play soccer on a scholarship. And so I think from where he came from, they called it football, but it wasn't the real football because technically soccer is not really a manly sport like football is, but either way. So anybody, any soccer players here? Any soccer players? Like serious, like you love it, it's your favorite sport? Okay, good, good. I'm amongst a good crowd then this morning, so or this afternoon. So anyhow, I'm talking to him, and, you know, I obviously did not tell him that I can't stand to watch soccer. I would rather watch grass grow than to watch soccer. In fact, usually I end up watching the grass grow during the soccer game on the field because it's more interesting to me than a soccer game is. So I didn't tell him that. But he came over here on a scholarship. He went to college for 4 years, and then he got his papers. He's here working and everything. And so he's selling these solar panels and all this kind of stuff that he's doing now, and pretty interesting. And so we were talking. I'd given him the gospel completely. And so when I gave him the gospel, we were just talking about, and he was real reluctant. And I said, is there any questions? And he's like, well, what could you say that would convince me that this is real? And he was from a Catholic background. And he said, in my church, what they teach is not real. It's like, what can you convince me? And I said, well, I know this. And I started going through a few things about the Catholic Church and different things like that. And the best way sometimes to witness to a Catholic is not to bash the Catholics, but just to show them the error of their way and teach them that Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father. So I'm going through some of that stuff. And then it just kind of hit me. I said, you like soccer, you like sports. He's like, yeah, I do. And I said, it's like this. I said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's one or the other. You know what I'm talking about? It would be like this. If you say, okay, I want to be a Christian, but I also want to stay a Catholic. I said, it's like this. It's like going out onto a soccer field and only playing half speed. I was like, would you ever do that? If you're a real athlete, would you ever go out onto a soccer field and play like you didn't care? He's like, no, man. If I'm going to play, I want to play with everything I got. I said, exactly. And I said, if you want to go to heaven, and I said, if you want to be a child of the King, I said, you got to give him everything you got, just like we heard preached just a few minutes ago. And he said, you know what? I'm in. And he said those words, I'm in, and I thought, you know what? That's pretty amazing. And right there in that little restaurant where we were sitting, he bowed his head and he asked the Lord to save him. But, you know, what's intriguing to me is he had to be convinced before he would do anything. He had to be convinced. You know what? You know who convinced him? It wasn't me. Obviously, the Holy Spirit of God was working on his heart, but it wasn't me. You know who convinced? He was convinced because he wanted to be convinced. It's just like playing on a team. You ever play, you know, pick up ball game, and whenever you look around at your team that got picked up and you realize you're about to get the brakes beat off of you? Anybody ever done that before? I have multiple times. And you're looking around and you're like, I'm the tallest guy and I'm 5'6". We're in bad shape. You know what I mean? And then it's like, okay, it's really not that important to me anymore. Because you know you're fixing to get the dog whipped out of you. I mean, you're fixing to lose by 30 points. That's never fun. You know, a lot of times, honestly, you and I, as Christians, we don't live the Christian life like we should and how we should because we're not convinced that we could win. we're not convinced that we can win. Obviously, in our mind, I mean, we, you know, hear the song just like Brother Judah, I'm on the winning side of, you know, all this stuff that we talk about and how that, you know, the Lord, our Jesus already, you know, won the war and all that, you know, we know all that stuff. But deep down inside, I'm looking at a bunch of you that honestly, you're not convinced. And that's why you're not all in. That's why you're not all in. Turn your Bibles, Exodus. Now we're going to do something spiritual, okay? They said it's free time after this, all right? So if I get done early, which I probably will, I don't have any notes. This is just a passage of scripture that I thought of this morning on the way up here and everything. I tell you what I did last week, guys. This is pretty cool. So at least I think it is. You can tell by looking at me, I like to eat, okay? There's no questions there. I love to put the groceries away. I got to slow down this week because this last week was rough on me. I went to Savannah, Georgia. Anybody ever been to Savannah, Georgia before? Okay, a few of you, all right. Down there, you see, in the south, is where they make, like, real food. You know, up here and further north, you're kind of on the line right here, but the further you get north, the less flavor your food has. The further you get south, the better the food gets. So we picked this place, Savannah, Georgia. My wife and I, for our 12 years of being married, our anniversary, it's not officially our anniversary, but I was preaching somewhere on our anniversary. So we ended up going this past week, we were in Savannah, Georgia. And man, I'm telling you what, I had some of the best food I've ever had. All our trip was about, my wife liked to go look at all the history stuff, and I just like to eat. And all I did, it was a sport almost to me, was to find the best restaurants in Savannah, Georgia. That's all I did. And we went around, man, lunch. We ate at some amazing restaurants. And then at supper, we would go all out, and we would just go to an amazing place, you know. And we dropped a little bit of money, but I've been saving. Hey, my whole vacation was based around food. Now, that's a pretty good vacation right there. You know what I'm talking about. I was loving it. It was awesome. So I was all in, obviously, on vacation. Man, I was having the time of my life. So then I get back here and all this, it's been amazing. But, you know, to think about this, Exodus chapter number 3, you there? Did I say 2 earlier? Because I think I'm thinking 2, but I said 3. Or maybe I said 2 and I'm thinking 3. Exodus chapter number 3, listen to this. Now who? Moses. All right. So everybody know what Moses did? Pretty good guy. Pretty good leader. Even though he didn't have the ability necessarily, He did some pretty amazing things. Would we not agree? That's all right. I'll pick it up in a second. Would we not agree that Moses, with God's help, did some amazing things beyond his ability? Would everybody agree with that? Say yes or no. Yeah, he did. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Now, that was exactly what Brother Judah was just talking about a few minutes ago, about having that personal meeting where the Lord reaches down to you, you reach up to him, and you meet with God. I can tell you about a handful of those experiences in my life, just as he could, and I hope that some of you could give those same illustrations, maybe in a different place with different names and maybe a different preacher, but the same type situation where you met with God. So here's Moses, he's meeting with God. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and he beheld the bush that burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see God. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. And the Bible goes on there, and he says that Moses came to him and he worshiped. He saw this bush that was burning, but it was not consumed. The Bible then goes on a few verses later, and he says, after the Lord had just told Moses in this from the burning bush, he says, You're going to be the person who's going to take my people out of Egypt. You're going to be the man who's going to be the leader. You're going to take them away from this captivity that they're in. And after he said that, he said, How am I going to go? How am I going to do it? I don't have the ability to do this. I don't have the courage necessarily. I don't have these things. I'm not a man who's a talker. I don't like to talk in front of people. I'm not that guy. You got the wrong guy. You missed it. He says, what am I even going to tell them whenever I go over to the children of Israel? They're not going to believe me. And he said this. The Lord said, go tell them that the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob hath sent you. And then he says, you know, you're going to throw your staff down and the rod down. It's going to turn into a serpent. You're going to pick it up. You're going to put your hand in your vesture, in your coat. And when you pull it out, it'll be leprous. And you put it back and then I'll heal you. And he gave these signs to him. And he went over there and he did those things. And it was amazing to me that he kept saying over and over, he said, the Lord God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob and this God, and the God of our fathers and the God of the people that we learned about as a child and the God of our heritage, if you will, all these different things. But you know, it wasn't all of them that was doing anything for him. That's what I was thinking about on the way up here. It wasn't Abraham. It wasn't Isaac. It wasn't Jacob. It's just Moses. They were all gone. They were dead. They were off the scenes. And it was Moses. You know what I think about is this. It's good to look at people as heroes. It is. It's good to have somebody that you look to and say, man, I would like to emulate some things that they do. That's kind of a big word even for me, but I would like to be like what they are. Maybe necessarily, there are some things, some attributes about their life that I would like to do. Honestly, that's good. But that won't get you through. I think Moses was not entirely convinced, even when he had seen the bush that burned but yet wasn't consumed. You know, you guys see that often. Honestly, if you've been in church very much at all in your life, you've seen God work. You've seen the fire of God. You guys are probably no stranger to seeing God do something or God save somebody. But you know what I think it was? Is when Moses knew that he was going to be the leader that God wanted him to be. It wasn't when he was talking. It wasn't when he was with Aaron. You know what I think it was? I think it was when he threw his rod down. Because of this. You know, when you brag about something, like, oh, I can cash this three, and then you shoot. You know those guys that, like, hold their carry, you know, hold their form all the way, and then it bricks, and you're like, ah, ha, loser, you know. And you kind of make fun of them because they were showboating, and then they bricked it. You know what I mean? That's why if you have any mind at all and you're in front of a bunch of people, you don't do that. You know what I mean? You just don't do that. Well, that's kind of the way it was with Moses. He threw his staff down, his rod down, and it didn't turn into a serpent. It was going to be the same thing. Everybody was going to say, you're a fool. You're an idiot. You're a moron. Hey, you can't lead us out of here. What are you doing? You're throwing your staff on the ground? Oh, you put your hand in your shirt and nothing. Oh, okay, yeah, you're real special. But I think whenever he realized that he was going to be a leader and that God was going to do something great was whenever he threw that staff down and all of a sudden it turned into a serpent. I think at that point in time in his life, he may have had a bunch of question marks in the back of his mind. He may have had a bunch of questions for God. And he might have had a lot of things that he thought, I don't know if I can do this or if I can do that. But my friend, whenever he saw that rod turn into a serpent, I'm going to tell you, I think all the question marks were gone. I don't think he struggled anymore with what God had for him to do. And I know that he was just one man. But did you know that all through Bible, all through the Word of God, God uses individuals to help move a group of people closer to Him? In this case, it was Moses that he used, and he went to Pharaoh, and him and Aaron, and man, they had all the plagues that took place, and then he finally let them go, and then, man, they crossed the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land, and then he struck the rock, and it turned it filled the valley with water that the people might drink, and they defeated their enemies, and there was a pillar of cloud and by day, and a pillar of fire by night, and man, God provided for them food and manna and all these things, but he never would have seen all of those wonderful miracles that we were talking about if he wouldn't have thrown the rod down. Never would have happened. It never would have happened. See, that's what God asked him to do. And this morning, I know sometimes, man, you think, I'm just one guy. You're right. And did you know that it may not be, we all the time talk about, man, there needs to be a leader in our youth department. Did you know that God might not be grooming you up to be the leader in the youth department? You might not ever be that guy in your youth group that people look to him and say, man, he's a spiritual giant. Might not ever happen. God might be getting you ready for a church down the road one day that you need to be a deacon in that will be without a pastor. And you help find another pastor. God might be getting ready for the mission field where you go to. Or God might be getting ready for you to teach a Sunday school class. And you might have third and fourth grade boys in your Sunday school class. And you're teaching that class. And you know what? You're not much of a leader maybe right now as far as the world looks at and says, oh man, he's the guy that we all look to in our youth department. But I'll tell you, there'll be some third and fourth grade boys or a Sunday school class one day or a youth department one day that'll sure be looking at you and saying, boy, I am glad that that individual, I'm glad that that one person just decided to serve the Lord. You see, we try to put our focus on right now all the time. We try to make right now the most important thing. But you know what? That's not the most. Right now, hey, we should be looking down the road. But we're so nearsighted sometimes. Oh, well, I'm just not cut out to be the... Well, maybe God doesn't have you as the leader of your youth department. And maybe you're not the guy. But you'll be that person for somebody, somewhere, at some day. And you got to do right now. In a sense, you got to, if you will, like Brother Judah said, throw the stick in the fire. Or you've got to toss down your rod and see that God is real. You've got to be convinced now in order for the future to be good. So here's what I'm saying. I can talk up here all I want to and try to convince you of all these different things. But I can't convince you if you can't convince yourself with the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's not much good I can do. I think about that story that Brother Judah said about how that his Sunday school teacher took him into the classroom and he probably gave him the gospel and, you know, and everything was probably just as good as that time as in any other time, but he wasn't saved when he walked out of there. And to some of us, we hear the truth. It kind of goes in one ear and out the other. To some of us, it's just not a big deal. It's because you're not convinced. You see, God has a purpose, and I know you know this, for each and every one of you to do something specific. I think about with just Moses, it wasn't early in life. He was an older man. And it wasn't like he was leading some charge. It wasn't like he was tearing it up. He was in the desert with a bunch of sheep, running away from problems. And God used him. So what I'm saying to you is this morning, or this afternoon, is that maybe this week, or this meeting, is to allow God to help convince you. Convince you. Because if you're not convinced, if you don't believe that something's going to do good, then why would you ever buy into it? Why would you ever buy in? not too long ago, I started dabbling with some investments, more out of fun than anything. I didn't put anything in it that I was not ready to lose, you know. I didn't want to go down that road of putting my savings in it or this or that or whatever. And I've lost some money, I've made some money, and it's been pretty fun. Honestly, it has. It's been pretty fun. But you know that every single time I buy an investment, a certain type of investment or whatever, I'm completely convinced that I'm going to make money. I am. You say, how do you know that? Because if I wasn't, I wouldn't put my money in it. You know what I'm saying? If I'm sitting there and I'm like, this don't look like a real good investment, I'm going to go ahead and throw $150 at it and see what happens. You'd say, you're a fool. And you would be right. That'd be one of the stupidest things anybody could ever do, is put money into something that they don't think it's going to work. I really don't think, it's like buying a car. Well, it's smoking pretty bad, but I think it'll be all right. And you go ahead and buy it. No, that's foolish. I mean, you don't do that. Because you're putting your money, you're just throwing your money away. And honestly, some of you got a wallet full of money called potential. And you are keeping it close because you're not convinced. You're keeping it in your pocket. And here's the deal. I can tell you some stuff I made some money on. And I can tell you some stuff I lost some money on. I can tell you some decisions I made that were dumb. And I can tell you some decisions that I made that were pretty good decisions. But all in all, none of those even come close to comparing to whenever I just bought in to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at one point in my life and all the way through till today, I finally decided, I'm convinced. I'm convinced. And here's the deal. You put all your money in, not only will you get all your money back out, but man, you'll get so much more. It's amazing how it changes a person when they believe in what they're investing in. Now, I ask you this morning, I don't know what time it is, we're probably done early, but I ask you this morning, are you convinced? Are you convinced to pull out your billfold of potential and future and say, yeah, man, it's all or nothing. I'm giving it all. Because I know I'm going to get a great reward back. I'll tell you a funny story. I invested in one thing, and man, the price shot up like crazy. And I was like, it's got to be done. It's done going up. It's probably fixing to come back down. And it shot up. And man, I doubled my money. I mean, just like overnight. I mean, it just happened. It was boom. And I was like, sweet. And I sold out. And I was laughing at all these other guys and stuff that didn't sell out. Because I'm like, it's fixing to crash. There's no way. And this particular one, it made it to about $5,000. I sold it. I made my money back out. I doubled my money. You know what happened about 3 weeks later? $20,000. And then all those guys were dying laughing at me like, you're an idiot, man. You sold out, you know? And honestly, I just didn't think it was going to go that high. But I didn't know. Pulled my money back out. I should have kept it in. I should have kept it in. You know, some of you, honestly, you were convinced at one time. Man, maybe when you were 12, 13, 14 years old, but now you're 17 or 18 and you're kind of coming to that point where you're about to go out into life and maybe it's go to Bible college or maybe it's do this, maybe it's do that. But honestly, you're pulling some of your money out. You're not convinced. Here's what I ask. Get back. Get back to that place of being convinced that it's a worthy investment, because it is. Serving Jesus is the best thing you can do with your life. But don't take my word for it. Put your money where your mouth is. If you have God in your life, and I promise you, God can use one man like you. Young man, I don't like calling, you know, we have like a boys line, a girls line, a boys side, a girls side, whatever. Like, I would prefer to call you young men. You know, sometimes you need to be talked to like a man, even though maybe you're 13 or 14 years old. I'll ask some of our staff guys sometimes, I'll say, hey, would you rather we talk to you like a baby and treat you like a baby? Or would you rather me talk to you like a man and treat you like a man? You're 14, you're 15, you're 16 years old, you're however old. You know what? Every one of them seems like they always say, I'd rather be talked to like a man. Why is that? Well, because you are. You are growing into a man. You're not a boy anymore. You are a young man who God has a great future for you. I believe that. Some of us need to quit acting like boys and start acting like young men of God that God is using. Allow God and just be convinced. I ask you this morning, are you convinced? Are you really convinced? Because you'll never, ever be all in until you're all convinced. Deep down in the core. It's never going to happen. So let's think about it today. As we go into the service, let's think about it. Am I convinced? Man, I love you guys. You listened great this morning or this afternoon. Let me pray, and then we'll see. I don't know what, I'll look and see what time it is, and we'll roll from there. Heavenly Father, I love you. Lord, thank you for giving us a story like Moses, somebody who maybe didn't have the most potential, didn't even really have the ability to speak, hated to get in front of people. He was nervous. He was awkward. But God, he was your man. You chose him, and he led your people. And God, I think about this group of young men. I don't know who is what. I don't know who has ability. I don't know who has talent. I don't know who doesn't. God, I believe with all my heart there are some young men in here that they are your man. And you have a chosen purpose for them. And God, I pray that they would just be convinced. They would believe. They would know just like Moses did. Just like Abraham, and just like all of those men had to be convinced that you were the greatest thing ever before they ever did anything great for you. And God, I pray that you would help these young men to understand that you are the greatest thing ever. And Lord, that they'll do great things for you. I sure do love you. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. In your name I pray. Amen.